Well, it's a great honor to be back here. 25 years, it's been a long time, and I want to thank everybody for just allowing me to be here. Just your kindness, you know, and appreciate it very much. I just got to tell you right now, this is a real God thing that I'm here today. I want to tell you a story of what happened to me. I own a jewelry store. I know, you know, you wonder, why would I own a jewelry store? That's another story. But I own and operate. So I stand there at the counter and sell jewelry and watches. And, you know, it's fun. And I get to sell and love my family, you know, and be like Paul. You know, Paul made tents, right? So I sell jewelry. That's what I do. I sell wares. And so I was standing there one day, and this wasn't too long ago. And I got a phone call. And the lady called me on the phone, and she just said, Ricky, this is Cindy, and I need to make a very large purchase. And I said, okay, she's from Mississippi, so she kind of has that accent, you know. And yeah, and she said, now, I just want to tell you something happened, and I need for you to just listen to me, okay? Now, let me just tell you, Jim is sitting right next to me, and that's her husband, Jim, and he's hearing everything I'm saying, okay? And I just want you to know, he cheated on me, and I need you to make us infidelity rings. And I said, okay. So that was a wake up, you know. And now what I want you to do, Ricky, is I want you to engrave cheater on his ring, okay? And I want you to make it real big, and he's going to wear it on his right hand. And then I'm going to, let's talk about my ring now, Ricky, okay? Can we talk about my ring? Sure. I want a 3-carat yellow diamond, and I'm going to wear it on my right hand. And so we're going to do this just because if we want to get into an argument about what he did, then I'm just going to point to our rings. Also, Ricky, I want you to engrave of how long he's been cheating on me inside that ring. Could you do that? Put the dates in there for me, okay? And now, Jim, yes, that's right. You're going to wear it, Jim. You know, and so I'm hearing the little argument, you know, there. And Jim is an attorney in our town. Jim's very, you know, good, nice man. Everybody knows him and a good guy. So next day they walk in, and Jim's walking in like this, and, you know, and she walks over this way, and he goes, whatever you do, make my ring small. I mean, make it thin, please. All right, we got you. And then Jim got a checkbook out and wrote a check for $25,000, you know, actually $27,000, because he had to pay for his ring too. And So, so Jim paid for that, and he's over there, you know, just doing what he's supposed to do. Now, she said, Ricky, give us a really good deal, because we're going to come back, and we're going to get those other rings. We want white gold now, because that represents, coldness. But she said, we're going to come back and get those yellow gold rings in a couple years, if he does good. I said, okay. So Jim's got 2 years, you know, to do what he's supposed to do. Yeah. You know, interesting enough about that, I prayed about it. The Lord spoke to me and said, you will not put cheater on his ring. Because if we look in the Word of God, Jesus forgave people of their sins. And the Bible also says that he hid their sins. And one scripture even says that he threw their sins as far as from the east to the west and remembered them no more. And the woman at the well, if you remember, when he was talking to her, what he revealed, not only that she lied to him, but he also revealed what? That you're going to go and do what? Sin no more. And so I said, Cindy, I'm not going to be able to put cheater and engrave that on her ring. And she said, well, can you at least put the dates on the inside of how long he's been doing that? So I said, okay, I'll put the dates on the inside because you can't see it, right? You know, and so it was a representation. So I called Brother Lowe, and I said, I need to share something with you, something I'm dealing with. And hadn't talked to him in a long time. Well, before I called, I got a call from a young man. I'm also a police chaplain. I'm a chaplain with the University of Texas Police Department. I've been a police chaplain, volunteer for over 34 years. And I've been 17 years with UT Austin, there in Austin. And one of my chaplains has been asking me to come preach and minister to their prayer group. That's a national prayer group, or I should say citywide prayer group, and asked me to come and speak to them. And in my life, what I've been going through is only if the Lord tells me. I am not going to preach anymore, speak anymore, go anyplace, because I've been an evangelist. I preached all my life, and I've given and given and given and given. I've been burned out. Now I'm working a job. I feel good. I get to minister to the officers. I get to minister to people in the store. I'm set, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm done. I'm done playing church. I mean, I've had it. So, and in those times of ministry, when I minister to people, it would fulfill me. So I felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. But then that friend called me and he said, "Now I know you say it's the will, only if it's the will of God, and you're not going to come unless we say, or I say that it was from the Lord, or that you felt it was from the Lord. I know that. But we really want you to come." I said, "Okay." Kind of left it right there. And then he said, "And I want you to go with me to Dallas, and I want you to speak with me on spiritual gifts. And we will go there to that pastor, and we will go preach for him, but I want you to do that as well, and we'll tag team." So he invited me and also invited me to that church. Then I called Brother Lowe, and when I told Brother Lowe something triggered in him. He said, "I want you to come preach for me." And that's been, 25 years? He said, "I want you to come." And I said, "Okay, I'll pray about it." The next day, a man walked in my jewelry store, and he spoke very broken English. He's from Puerto Rico. And he came in, and he was very loud, very demonstrative, and kind of scared some of my customers, you know. And but as he was bringing a watch for us to put a battery in, he just said, "The Lord delivered me." And he said, "I want to tell you about it." He said, He said, "I, 17 years, I was addicted to drugs." And he said, "Almost died 3 times. And he said, "They were wanting to kill me." And he said, "The Lord delivered me right there in Puerto Rico. And I come here, and I'm just thankful what the Lord has done for me." Okay, I'm Ricky, and you are. I mean, it was just like pop, pop, pop. He was saying that. We got him a watch battery. I was dealing with my customer. He leaves. The very next day, he comes back, and he stands in the corner, and he points at me and says, "I want to talk to you." Oh, man, what did we scratch? Scratch his watch, you know, or did we put a battery in wrong? He walked over there to me. My wife is here. My daughter is right there. They both work there with me. He walked me straight in the face and looked at me, and he said, "I was praying for you yesterday, and the Lord told me that you just received 3 ministerial invitations." And he said, "The Lord said, you're to take all 3. Okay. Who are you talking to? You can't get much plainer than that. Thank you. Yeah. So there was no bargaining. My daughter began to cry. She saw the dynamics that were going on. And a customer that was there, standing there, his eyes got this big. He's going, "What in the world is going on?" And afterwards he said, "What in the world did that guy say to you?" And I began to tell him and talk to him about it. Today I want to speak to you about pain, shame, and then how to gain. Pain, shame, and how to gain. In this day and time, and what we're dealing with is people are carrying around a lot of garbage. But the focus today should not be about the garbage. It should not be about what you're feeling and what you think of about yourself, or about what you think people think about you. Can I get a witness on that? We really need deliverance from ourselves before we can really move forward in relationship with our Lord. He loves you. He sees you like no other person sees you. He sees the power, the authority, and the love, and the acceptance that's in every one of you. Every one of you. And the Bible tells us over and over and over, and preachers preach it over and over and over, about how special we are, and what we can provide, and what we can do, and the authority that we have, and all the great grand wonders of what we're about through Him. And then we stand around and walk around with guilt and shame in our lives because we're measuring ourselves with our sins constantly and we miss who He really is. You know it's true. And you say, well, what if I don't want to walk that road? Well, you know what? You don't have a choice today. Because today the Lord sent me here for the specific reason to speak a word into your life because He loves you. He's not concerned really about what Ricky does in obedience as being a preacher, I don't think. It's all about you better go and say and do what I tell you to do. You don't have a choice anymore. I can't make it any plainer to you, Ricky. Make it clear to the people. So, back to Cindy. Now, Ricky, I want you to know something. I'm about to go into surgery. Now, if I die, would you make sure that my ring gets to my daughter? You're about to go into surgery. She goes, yes. And she said, I just want to make sure that that's taken care of. She said, I really need to open up to you and tell you. She said, I wish I didn't have to have this ring. I wish I could get back what I wanted. And I looked at her and I remember looking right in her eyes and saying, Cindy, you're forgiven. Kind of shaking. He's forgiven. Boy, she didn't want to hear that. All that guilt and that shame got confronted with a true word that went right to the heart. It's done. Even though that we carry the guilt and the shame for what we think we've done in reaction to what other people are doing, we've missed it. We've missed it. It's the greatest hindrance to the church to not proclaim and be what God calls us to be. You show the Isaiah. Do you have the scripture, Isaiah 54, 17? Listen to this closely. No weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. So you've heard that over and over and over. No weapon formed against me, what? Shall? No weapon formed against me, shall? All that try to rise against me will fall. That was a song. And in this particular scripture, no weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. Let's look at this. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Lady walked into my store, and she said, sir, I always know when they think something is real expensive when it's not. It's the way that they walk in with it. You know, they got this, you know, thing. They want to show me. Come over here. Well, sure. They usually got it in a cloth or something, you know, and they open it up, and I'm going, man, what is it, the Hope Diamond? You know, I mean, you know, why are they protecting it? And a lot of times when they open that up, and this one particular lady opened it up, and I looked at it, and I went, oh, my gosh, it looks like a finger. I mean, it was this bent little piece of steel, but it had these little markings that looked like if it wasn't a finger, don't worry. Yeah, not going to be talking about cutting people's fingers off. But it looked, it appeared, and it was just an ugly piece. I tested it. And when I tested it, it was not what she thought it was. It was not an emerald. It was not gold. It wasn't diamonds. There was no value at all of what she was carrying. But she thought that what she had was value. And she thought what she had was going to bring a lot of money and probably bring a lot of relief to her life. But what she didn't know, once it was tested, it was nothing. The scripture teaches us here that the heritage is what we have that was given from the Lord of great value. That great value of what we receive from the Lord is the heritage, and that is that no weapon formed against us will prevail. It can't prevail. You bought into the heritage of the Lord Jesus Christ to have everything and anything that He's offering you today to give you according to His word, according to His spoken word, according to His written word, according to the authority that is spoken from the word. It's yours. It's not anybody else's but yours. You're a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what sin you've ever committed, no matter what you've ever done, no matter what you think you are, it is a lie from the pits of hell that you're anything but somebody that has received the heritage of the Lord to be authoritative and to be anointed. That's what the Word says. Sometimes we just need to whip ourselves into shape a little bit and say, you just need to remember something, young man. You are a heritage. You have the heritage of the Lord. There is nothing that's going to come against you that doesn't go through Him first. And let me tell you something. The pain that you're feeling will rock you into a new world of a new dimension. It's the way that God has developed this system of the way we live and what we do. You will get your pain, you will get gain from your pain when you realize what that pain is. When you have that pain and there's something that's constantly eating at you, constantly dealing with you, constantly annoying you, you have focused that that's your problem, that that's the only thing that you need to focus on for change. And the Lord's saying today, get your focus off of your pain. Get your focus off that and put your focus on what's going to make you change. Man, you're doing good, boy. Yeah. Now, what about your shame? How many people here have a lot of shame? For what? You don't have to reveal your sin. We're all sinners that are saved by grace. That's what we are. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. There is no greater sin or one thing that can cause us to be any different than when it's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He placed that blood upon you and caused you to walk into His freedom, then there is no more shame. The shame is gone. But what do? We carry it around, don't we? Yeah. Sometimes we get in love with our shame. We're married to our shame. Let me tell you what happens, because when the Lord forgives you, sometimes even then, when you know that He's forgiven you, you hold on to it because it's your badge of honor. You're not the reason they did what they did. Now I'm going to flow. You're not the reason why they made the decisions they made. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Every person is an agent of themselves to do what they want to do and called to do, or what they think they should do. They do it. That's right. You say, but Brother Rick, I sit here today and I can't put myself in position to receive because I got too much baggage. Let me tell you something. You are the problem for the reason you're not getting your victory. It's just the truth. You can walk in the liberty. I remember when I came here, I was going through a divorce. I was a preacher, evangelizing, doing youth crusades all over the United States. I won a guy to the Lord by the name of Anthony Clark. Anthony Clark held the title of the world's strongest man. And no, just kidding. Watch, messing with me. Everybody, make sure everybody's awake. I was about to get real spiritual and just fall off. I just really want to show Brother Lowe how I can move still, you know. Yeah, you know it. You know it. I put that basketball on you, son. Yeah, you know it. You know it. You know it. I'm not least on game, but I'm pretty good with my feet. Okay, back to the spiritual. Where was I? Oh, Anthony Clark, the world's strongest man. Anthony Clark bench pressed 800 pounds, and he did it like this, reverse grip. Boom! Guinness Book of World Records, Anthony Clark. I had the privilege of baptizing Anthony, and I was given the title of the world's strongest baptizer. That's right. Yeah. I walk around, yeah, I baptized Anthony Clark. World's strongest man. Yep, wasn't for me, he wouldn't be saved. Yeah. Anthony was 330 pounds, 5'8" tall, with a 62-inch guns, excuse me, 28-inch arms and a 62-inch chest. Samoan and Filipino. He was massive. We went to Luby's one time. You know Luby's. You know how they had those big round tables? Luby's, you know? I mean, those big round tables. You know how they always set the salt and pepper shaker in the middle of those tables? And it was always kind of like, golly, I'm going to have to, you know, muster up here and stretch over and grab that thing. One day, Anthony and I went to eat, and he looks over there at that salt and pepper shaker, and he started snorting. I said, why are you laughing, Anthony? You can't reach it, can you? So I said, you're having a hard time grabbing it there, huh? And then I got to thinking, if he has a hard time doing this, wouldn't he have a hard? No, but anyway, I mean, yeah, it's just like, but I guess if you're the world's strongest man, you can just grab any kid that's next to you and say, come here, kid, you're going to help me out. Yeah, I'm at home. Oh, yeah. Bear with me. Anthony traveled with me, and we reached a lot of teenagers for the Lord. We had a kid come to us in California, and he had a razor blade. And he said, I was going to kill myself tonight, but after you guys spoke. We spoke to anywhere from 15 to 35,000 kids in 3 days on weekends and invited them to come hear me speak, but through Anthony, telling them how you come watch me lift a car or lift, you know, whatever we're going to be lifting that day. And we're going to feed you free pizza. One group of kids came. They came from a detention center, a halfway house, runaway center, in San Diego, California. They all lined up and came. All of them got baptized but one. The one that didn't get baptized was the one that was carrying all the guilt and the shame. That one that had already experienced what the Lord was about, already knew, and would not get baptized. The other ones delivered, set free. It's powerful, and it's the razor blade. It was amazing, incredible change. One thing Anthony told me, he said, Ricky, when my dad would take my arms and would wrap them up with electrical cord and throw it over a beam in our living room and string me up and start whipping me, and he would say he would do that so that I would always be humbled. That's the kind of testimony Anthony would tell these kids. And these kids would come pouring down, and God would set them free and love on them, because all he did was give them love. So I'm here to tell you that the antidote for shame is to love. You may even feel it when you hug somebody. You may even feel it when you say the words, I love you. You're not only releasing them, you're releasing yourself. So the pain that you have causes you to react to someone's pain to help them to take away the shame. Because the shame is really what's keeping us from being used in our spiritual gifts. I was reminded last night of a preacher in California that just shut his church down. He said, nobody come to church for a month. Nobody come to the service for a month. Don't come. Don't even come up to the church. Don't do it. We won't be here. Don't come to church. Be the church in your neighborhood and at your work and where you go. They doubled in size when they met back finally. Doubled in size when they met back finally. And guess what? Their tithes and offerings doubled. They had more money, Gazowski. They had more money and more people after they made the church be the church. And when they did that, what happened? So the idea is not to upset the apple cart by not coming and fellowshipping. It was to remind the people what? You are the agent. You are the church. You are the anointed one. You're the one with authority and power. Let me share something with you. I honestly believe this. I honestly believe that everything that I have tapped into spiritually by trusting and stepping out by faith and doing that, and I mean some times that I didn't think the Lord was really there, when I stepped out, I believe that same power and authority you have. I don't care who you are. You have the same authority and power. You have the same anointing. You have the same capabilities. And if you've been told otherwise, then that's wrong. There is no higher. There is no lower. Let me tell you why I'm comfortable here today. Because I'm among people that are receiving this to understand. You know what? We may have missed this thing. We may have missed it. We're going to gain from our pain. We're going to gain from our shame. And we're going to make a difference in our life. I'm going to love somebody. I'm going to love them. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to make them feel good and powerful about who they are. I'm not going to take around any more baggage. I'm not going to let it drag me down anymore. If it's under the blood, it's under the blood. If you put it there, it's there. And if you keep sinning and you keep messing up and you keep making mistakes, that's your fault for concentrating on that sin. That sin does not define you. If the sin defines you, all of us would be walking around like this and writing checks. Yeah. Said, no, Miss Cindy, we're not going to be shaming anybody today. We're not going to be reminding them of what they did. That's not the will of God. We're going to do this. We're going to make a reminder, but we'll make these symbolic of what? Of the restoration that's going to happen when somebody gives themselves to the Lord. We camouflage our sins by giving ourselves in to shame. We camouflage it because we know what's going on in our lives. We know what we're doing. We're flogging ourselves over and over and over. Amen. So, thank you, Lord. So I had a situation where the Lord really dealt with me about something. I wanted to really believe that the Lord was going to make a difference. I remember praying with a young man in an altar. The young man was a Satan worshiper, and everybody was afraid of him. He would always brag about how he could make cats flip and flop and do all kinds of stuff, and in the parks and make people start arguing, by his spirit and his presence. And I remember one day he came in to the altar area, and he got saved. He got delivered. And all that stuff just went away. So I remember that my sister had not received the Spirit of God, and I really wanted her to. I really wanted her to experience what I experienced because I came from the Baptist faith, and I said, I really want you to experience something here. So she was coming down as the Lord was moving, and she was going to receive, and here comes Jerry. And as Jerry's walking, I thought, okay, I'm going to be the Pentecostal policeman here. I'm going to stop in the name. Yeah, I'm going to make this guy stop. He ain't going to mess this up. She's about to come to the Lord. So here he comes, and here she comes. And just about, I got right to him, the Lord said, if you stop him, she will not receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord. But his hair goes north, south, east, west, and he coming, and he's just, a menace, and he's just, nobody really wants him because he's just always crazy, and he crying out and says, he said, if you stop him, it won't happen. And as that guy walked by, he laid his hand on her head, and he said, sister, you're going to get the HG right between the eyes. And when he laid hands on her, the Holy Ghost came on her, and she received it. Yeah. My sister received it in a powerful way. Here's the lesson. The lesson is you don't call the shots. We don't call the shots of how God's going to use people. Here it is right here, folks. Obedience. Will you dare to believe after today that what he's speaking to you is what you're supposed to do? You don't have an excuse anymore. Your pain and your shame, bye-bye. You're going to gain from it, no matter what it is. And now you're going to be a free agent with heritage and an anointing and backing that when you walk in the Spirit, there'll be nothing that can stop you, nothing that's going to interrupt that any longer. Somebody's about to take that tiger by the tail and just take it and say, no more. You're not going to mess with me no more. I'm going to take authority. I need to do something real quick. Can we just have a prayer break real quick? That'd be okay? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I don't want to miss anything that you want me to do. And you instructed me to say what I needed to say. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for all the deliverances that are going to take place today. I thank you for that, Lord. So it doesn't matter anymore, Lord, about numbers and how people respond. Your word was spoken, and it's powerful. And it'll touch people at night. It'll touch people in the morning. It'll touch them at work. It'll minister to them. It'll convict them. We have no excuse but to open up and let you have your way and to let all this shame and this guilt just go away, because we're not going to carry it any longer. And what the devil meant for evil, Lord, we know that you're going to cause it for the good. And we thank you for that. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for giving us that opportunity today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't normally do this, but this is what I feel led to do. I want to ask you, just where you're sitting right now, as if it's just me and you talking, because nobody's around. This is not for me to even look. I may or may not even open my eyes, but this is for you. This is for you to be able to identify to the Lord that you're done. You're done carrying your pain, and you're done carrying your shame. And you're going to gain, because today you realize you have a heritage, and the heritage is to be what he's called you to be. Not because of your pain that you're in, but because you received this message as receiving that heritage, that no weapon is going to be formed against you from this day forward, and you're going to make a stand. I want you to lift your hand. Put it down really quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, yes, 21. Over 21 people in here right now have made a difference. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many here today, if you raise your hand, you would say that message was directly for me and I know what God's talking to me about. I'm the reason why this happened today. Lift your hand right now. Show him. Show him. More hands than what just raised? Interesting. There you go. There you go. It was for me. It was for me. Remember, nobody's judging you. Why? Because we're all in this together. We've done the same things. We've had the same problems. This is not for you to concentrate on it. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Thank you for raising your hands. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here in just a moment. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer, and we're going to ask everybody to come up here. When everybody comes up here, the Lord's going to begin to deliver some of you. He's going to do that for you. You're going to feel something, and you're going to know, and it was because of your obedience of knowing what you're going through. I want to remind you, you're not to mope, and you're not to cry about your sin. You are not to mope. You're not to cry about your sin. You're not to throw yourself a pity party. This is an invitation for you to receive the heritage of the Lord and to be who you are called to be. I don't want you to concentrate on me. I don't want you to worry about Sister Susie's, Brother John, or anybody else, the pastors or anybody. I want you to connect with the Lord and do the business you need to do. And guess what that business is? Is all you got to do is just be open and honest to him and say, Lord, I've carried this long enough. Some of you may have even thought about suicide. You may have even thought about giving up. I remember going through that divorce and I come to this church. And if it wasn't for Brother and Sister Lowe for loving me and taking me in and caring for me, there's no telling where I'd be today. No telling where my soul would be today. But they showed love and they gave love. They made me feel like I was still the man of God that he had called. They had given me that authority to do that, to continue to operate in my gifts and minister in their church. And I was broken, hurt. Somebody's going to get resurrected out of their problem today. You're going to get changed. It's going to make a difference. You're about to be just between you and the Lord. And I want to reiterate something that I feel so strong. It's not your fault. The situation that you're on your mind all the time, you're carrying the guilt and the shame of something that somebody else has made a decision. And then there's somebody in here today, this is very critical for you to hear. And Lord, help me and guide me in saying this the way you told me earlier to say this. But this is very critical and this is important. Some of you have made decisions out of your pain and you need to reverse it for your gain. You made some decisions out of your pain and it caused you more pain. You weren't taught. You didn't know. You weren't reminded of who you are. And you didn't sit back and let the Lord have his way. And it puts yourself in a precarious situation. And I want you to know something. The Lord wants me to tell you what? I love you. I love you. I don't want you going through that anymore. I want you, play a little music, please. I want you to come to Daddy. I'm hearing that term used now, you know, from your pastor. And that's just what he wants to be today. You know what we could do? We could see mass deliverance in here all at once. Don't worry about what your wife thinks right now. Don't worry about what your husband thinks right now. Don't worry about anything like that. This is you and me. This is you and the Lord. This is just y'all two. This is y'all two talking. I'm just sharing. He's about to flip the switch for you. Do you want it? Are you ready? Can it be that easy? Can I remind you that this message is for you today? Can I tell you, do I have to remind you in the will of God? Don't let the devil tell you this is not for you. Don't say, you know what, I don't like his black shoes and his blue shirt. They don't go together. Don't let him tell you, you know, that guy's weird. He's making a mockery of God. Don't let him tell you anything like that. That's one way that he's going to try to mess you up. Don't tell him, but if I come up, people are going to think what? Think what? Think the very thing they've been doing? Think of the very thing that they have been holding on to? Somebody's about to give the devil a big black eye. Yeah. And you don't even have to fight him. All you got to do is what? All you got to do is accept by saying, Lord, it is my heritage. You said that my heritage is that no weapon formed against me will prevail. Now, when we've heard that scripture before, and I'm closing, when we've heard that scripture before, we always think about picking up a weapon. Listen closely. We always think about picking up a weapon, right? No weapon formed against me, so I'm going to take my weapon. I'm going to cut some devil's head off. I used to think like that. All right, he's giving me the weapons and the armor, so now I'm going to go and fight, you know. He wants you to see that scripture in a whole different light. That's the byproduct of you realizing that you have the heritage. That's the byproduct. Well, then how else can I know? By claiming today, Lord, I receive your word that says this is my heritage to be protected, to be loved, to be forgiven. Everything the word says encompasses, not just in that scripture. This is mine today. I accept it and I receive it. Some will laugh. Some will cry. Some will jump up and go to the restroom. That's real spiritual, isn't it? Some people remember they left something on at the house. Some people will say, you know, it doesn't matter. Listen closely. It doesn't matter. You heard from the Lord today. You heard from the Lord. He gave you the message you need. Do you know how many times I've heard God's messages and left and not changed? Do you know how many times? Do you know how many times I've done it in a row to where my heart started getting callous? You know how many times? Yeah. But you're a preacher. So what? I'm a human being that fought the same things. Let me tell you what will make the difference. This is a promise. Some of you, your life depends on it. Some of you, your marriage depends on it. Some of you, your job depends on it. You're at that place. There's probably 5 to 8 of you. You're at that place that you knew that this was for you today. And if you don't accept your heritage, come down here and accept your heritage from the Lord and let him start talking to you and loving on you. You might not make it. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you that. You're in desperate need. You've got to. And what are you going to prove today? You're going to prove that you're going to gain from your pain that you're in right now. The pain you're in right now is going to cause you to react and do what you're supposed to do. Amen? Who wants to jump up? Who wants to come to this altar and stand? Who wants to do it? Come on. You know it's you. Get up. Come to the altar. There you go. A little encouragement. There you go. Just stand. Just stand. Begin to talk to the Lord. There you go. That's right. Don't look back. Don't look at me. Just start talking to the Lord. And go ahead and start receiving it. And in these few moments, something's going to happen for you. This is beautiful. How many did Jesus have? 12, right? That changed the world? His disciples? Yeah, his disciples were cussing and cutting people's ears off and acting like crazy, wasn't it? His disciples? His people, right? His group. His best 12. And what happened? Jesus had to minister to his disciples. He had to make a difference. As they sing this song, I want you to just let it go and let the Lord move on you. Let's see what he's going to do. If at any moment you back there in the service, you back there in the rows, if you want to come, you come. But I want to ask you to do something. Don't pray with anybody unless you're instructed. Prayer team, of course. Prayer team, of course. But be careful about praying for somebody because you just think that's what you're supposed to do or that gives you comfort. It's not the will of God. If you're on the prayer team, come on. I mean, that's your authority, yes. Does that make sense? But be careful because the Lord's about to put the boom on some people. He's about to change some lives here. You will never be the same after today. You will never be the same. Don't focus on your sin. He already knows you're sorry. He already knows that you're this and that. He already knows that you're going to make mistakes. He already knows you're not where you need to be. He already knows you touched that and did that. Get that out of your minds right now and begin to worship Him and love Him and thank Him for who you are and the heritage that you have. And if you're wanting deliverance, put your hands up and say, Lord, I receive my deliverance. I can't take this any longer. I'm believing right now that you're going to make a difference in my mind and in my body and in my spirit. Let's sing a song and let's just worship a moment.